Okay, this is Dina Colbert, and I've been asked by Heather to sit in as interim, just as chair for this evening's meeting. This is Thursday, May 8th, and this is the Affiliate Task Force. Teresa, would you please take attendance?
Okay. We're going to start with people calling their name, starting with WPFW. Do we have anyone from WPFW here? Okay, hearing none. What about WBAI?
Well, Dina Colbert from New York City.
All right, thank you, Dina. From Houston, do we have anyone from Houston other than me, Teresa Allen? Okay. And do we have anyone from the Los Angeles area, KPFK?
Michael Novis from KPFK, Lynn Edible.
Thank you, Michael.
John Crumshow, KPFK.
Right. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. And do we have anyone from KPFA? Okay, I don't hear anyone from KPFA.
And where's Bill? There was a Bill who was on the line earlier.
Bill Crozier is streaming.
I'm here. I'm streaming. I'll listen, though.
Okay. And I believe that Heather Gray is on the call. Heather is from WRFG in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes,
and
I'm on
the
thank
national
you.
Board. And then Ursula Rudenberg?
Yeah.
Ursula, can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, great. Madam Chair?
Okay. So because we don't really have an agenda, I thought that we should do roll call. Maybe we should, I don't know how we go about approving minutes when most of the people on the call, on past calls, are not present. And several people who are on this call have no idea whether the minutes would be correct or incorrect. So that maybe we need a two-minute discussion on how we approve those minutes. It would be for March and for April.
Actually, we did not approve the February minutes in March, and they were sent out. So they were sent out twice. So
right.
We do have February, March, and April minutes.
Okay. So let's have a two-minute conversation about that, and then we need an affiliate coordinator's report from Ursula. And then I don't know if there are any outlying action items, but we could probably update you a little bit on some work that several of us are doing in forming the unit. And then we need to talk about the survey and then any other action items that are outstanding, and then we adjourn. And if there's any other business that I haven't listed, please come forth now.
Dina, this is Heather. Could I make a comment?
Sure.
I must apologize to you. We were talking about agenda earlier today, and I just sent it to you. I didn't know who Teresa had sent it to, actually. So I don't want to thank Teresa for doing this. But what we had on the agenda was, and I just sent it to you, so hopefully if you're by your computer, you can see it, but it's a call to order, approve agenda, approval of minutes, and I know you want to have a discussion, which sounds good. The affiliate coordinator report, and as you're saying, a discussion of the survey, and also something about the GRC conference planning, and then the action items and adjourn. So that's what we had. What you didn't mention was the GRC planning, actually. So.
Right. And I don't, I'll hear something from you right now.
I sent the agenda out earlier to you also, Dina, but you might not have seen it.
Okay.
But right now, I'm assuming that, Madam Chair, that you're asking if people want to add or change the agenda?
Yes. Okay, well, so therefore, can we approve the agenda as stated? Anybody who disagrees with the agenda as it's written? Okay, then we're just going to move forward. So on the approving of the minutes.
I'm sorry, point of information?
Yeah.
Is the call being streamed?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Who's
welcome, Serene.
Oh, Serene.
Serene Roberts here from WBAI, obviously.
Thank you. So my question is, we have minutes from February, March, and April, and at least half of the people on the call tonight did not attend those meetings. We certainly won't have, more than two or three people who did attend those meetings. How does one approve minutes when they weren't, I didn't attend the April meeting, so I'm not sure the best procedure for moving forward on approval of minutes, but as far as I'm concerned, the minutes over many years have been written by Teresa and seem pretty accurate, so I would just go along with and say we could approve it, but I don't know that that's what people want to do. So let's just open it up for conversation.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm going to move that we approve the minutes of February 13th of 2014 because I sent them out, I believe, three times. No, actually, I did not send them out this time, so they've been sent out twice.
Can I first just see if there's a conversation about how people want to handle the minutes, and then we can just block as a block vote for all of them?
Is that you, Dina?
Yes.
Oh, I'd like to do it again.
Go ahead.
Michael, I'll look to the sec.
Okay.
Well, I think, if these are public meetings and publicly streamed, people who were not in attendance could certainly vote for them, if they listen to the
right.
So it's not impossible that you could get a sizable vote.
Exactly.
That's it. Thanks.
Okay. And was that Michael or John? I don't know your voice.
That was Michael.
Michael, go ahead.
In previous committees I've been on, people have just stood aside on a vote at a meeting where I didn't have a chance to check on the stream, so I'd be content with that. I had one minor correction to the April 10th, which is that my name is misspelled. It's B-I-C-K.
Okay,
also,
great. Thank you.
Yeah. Also, if the minutes could go to the affiliate staff force group list, because I got them at a different email address and I get the rest of my PMB committee mailings. So I appreciate having gotten them, but I have to go back and forth between two different lists.
It was noted earlier before we started streaming that Heather is going to take the initiative to look at the past affiliate task force list members and coordinate with Otis on putting the new members on that list and removing many of the old members and getting an updated list together before next month.
Okay. I'm getting that list, but I didn't get the minutes from that list. I got the minutes in a separate email from
right.
address.
Okay. I think there's been, it wasn't coordinated for tonight, that much we know. Okay, so go ahead.
Just on the last point that you raised with Michael, is Ursula on the call?
Yes.
Oh, because I sent her the names of all the current people.
Yes,
that
wasn't coordinated with Otis in time to notice them.
No, that's fine. I just heard something about. I just wanted to be sure everyone that she had received. I haven't spoken to her. I want to be sure that she'd received the new list, which represents people who came through their LSBs.
Right.
Yes, Serene, I did receive it. Thank you. I was traveling, and so I saw it today, and so. I researched their email addresses because I didn't have them either. So,
oh, you didn't have it?
By the time I got that done, it was mid-afternoon. So I sent an email to all of those people telling them about the meeting and apologizing for the late notification. And you're on that email, too, so you'll see it when you check. You'll see that
And
Michael's asking that a different email be used for him.
Yeah, the email address that's on, I'm getting the list from the list to the email address I want. I got the minutes at a different email address, that's what I'm saying. I didn't get them through the list.
Michael, what email should I use for you, or you want to email me if you don't want to say it on the stream?
Sure, I'll do that. That's
just send it to Ursula at Pacifica.org, URSULA, and I'll go off and put that in one. The thing is that...
The right one is on the list. The list has the right one. That's fine.
Okay.
Okay, so can we approve the February minutes for the task force? And can we just bunch them together? February, March, and April of 2014. Is there anybody who does not want to approve these or wants to make any statement about any of the three?
People just corrected the bug in my name.
Right. I've already corrected the misspelling.
Thank you.
Right.
Serene would like to abstain.
Okay, Serene. So there's one abstention. Anybody else? Okay, so all 3 months have been approved. We're moving on to the affiliate coordinator report.
Okay. Should I go ahead and start?
Yep.
I'm sorry. I just need to appoint a personal privilege. I have to jump off in like 3 minutes because the P&D is meeting. So I won't interrupt your report. I'll just go at that time.
Okay.
Thank you for letting us know, Serene, and thank you for coming on the call tonight.
Thanks.
And I also will be going off for another meeting in person.
Thank you for letting us know also in advance.
Thank you. That's John, and we'll talk with
you later. John. Thanks, and we'll talk to you next month.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Some of my report will be similar to last month's report because, you all know we're a little bit in a holding pattern as organization. So I'm repeating some of the information for those of you that are new and adding some new information. So the affiliates program is continuing to provide consistent services to our affiliates despite the current instability at the executive and board level and is even continuing to grow. Since our last meeting, we have added 2 new affiliates, Wimberley Valley Radio in Wimberley, Texas, which is a low-power station, and currently it's an internet station. They are in the process of waiting to get their construction permit, and WUTU in Albany, Georgia. WUTU is the station that's owned by the Southwest Georgia Project for Community Education, which was started by the historic civil rights leader, Charles Sherrod. And some of you know him also because of his wife, Shirley Sherrod. Heather Gray was instrumental in initiating this project as she kind of got him started, connecting him with Pacifica, and the Pacifica Affiliates Program has played a pivotal role in facilitating this application and acceptance from the FCC. It was a hard process. It's a colorful story, but we did prevail, and they do have the permit, and in fact, they did go on the air last month. And they affiliated since the last meeting. And we're continuing to help them build the station administratively and program-wise. And I also was just in San Marcos, Texas, where there's a beautiful river, and we began the process of a new affiliate there with a low-power station that is just going on the air now. So the low-power applications are picking up because a lot of new stations are coming on board. And a lot of the continuity we're experiencing is just through the day-to-day work of keeping community radio on the air. However, the technical coordinator for the affiliates program, Chris Ling, has resigned, and he'll be leaving after tomorrow. So it's a little bit of a stressful time right now. It was a little bit of a short notice, and a lot of systems are... in place that he only knows about. So, I mean, in terms of how to manage. So it's going to be a little bit difficult in the future, in the near future. So I did speak with the interim executive director right now, and he, you know, promised to try to facilitate rehiring somebody as quickly as that's possible. So hopefully that will be possible. I'll be attending the National Federation of Community Broadcasters Conference at the end of May, which is a primary outreach event for the affiliates program. And I'll be presenting at a one-day intensive the day before the conference for people building new stations. And the presentation will be about successful governance and management, and also about strategies for putting programming on the air when you're a new station, and for community outreach. And then there'll be an affiliate meeting as usual. And as I reported last month, the current conflict is really creating serious vulnerabilities for the affiliate program. And to just summarize that, things haven't changed that much from the last time. And the main problem is that the affiliates program, the way it's currently managed, is set up so that the business office for the affiliates program is really the same, is really the Pacifica National Business Office. And currently it's not really possible for a lot of functionalities to occur because of the current situation at the national office. I was able to bring on somebody here on a part-time basis to do billing and collections. And so we have been making a tremendous amount of progress in terms of repairing what was very serious damage to the billing process. And since it's come under the control of my office, we're rapidly working on reconnecting with a lot of affiliates and getting back to normal billing. So we actually have hopes that this year we'll be receiving the full amount of affiliation fee that we should be. And it's a little bit of a process. It's bit by bit we're really gaining ground on it. And we're building a database so that it's pretty easy to access the information now. And last month I listed just a few of the problems that are being caused by the current problem, by the current conflict at Pacifica, and they include things like a lot of lost records and crucial information about billing and payments for last year and this year, which is what we're reconstructing now as much as we can. There's a lack of information about how payments that go to the office are being processed and recorded. We have set up a lockbox, and we are asking affiliates to send their fees to the lockbox, and it's working fairly well, but it's slow going because, you know, people are used to sending it to the national office, and so there's a certain amount of payments that are still just kind of we're having trouble tracking, and it's getting better. I mean, I have to say, by and large, the folks at the national office, I mean, the management, the business staff, they're working with us as best they can, but there's just a lot of information that's lost, and it's hard to work with that. We do not have access to our bank account, so we don't have any information about what's happening with the fund after it leaves the lockbox. I have asked that a budget be basically approved by the national office so that when I spend money, it's not without structure. I want to declare about, you know, how much money we can and should be spending under the current circumstances. So I've been working on that with Dina and Janice Lane-Newart, and hopefully to have something approved within the next few days so that at least there's some structure to spending. There's also a lack of ability for the program to get repayment of funds that have been borrowed by the national office. And including considerable large amount of money from myself personally, and is continuing to accrue interest on my personal credit card. And also there's a number of things that we need legal counsel for, and we've not been able to get legal counsel, and that's causing a variety of problems as well. These are some of the problems. I don't want to go. There are more that I don't feel that I should be discussing in a public forum. That, you know, needless to say, it's just because the affiliate office is so closely tied with the Pacifica business office, things are just kind of at a standstill right now. And the problem with that is that, you know, unlike the Pacifica stations, the affiliate program is a is based almost solely on its business transactions. It doesn't have any real property. The only property we own are the contracts we can make. So when we lose our ability to make contracts and to do business on a professional level, we really don't exist. So it's an extremely serious situation for the affiliates program. And due to these factors, it's even more important than ever for us to move forward with developing the program into a unit so that operations can be conducted with continuity. Susan? And you know, and not be vulnerable to these kind of fluctuations and of the organization. And so I've been working on that with Dina. Thank you, Dina. And Janice Laney, we've been meeting regularly to develop the structure of a unit. And maybe I'll ask you to help me describe that, Dina, as well.
I put walnuts in this, dear.
And we can go into that more afterwards. And the last thing I think I can report here is that we are partnering with the local radio station here in Iowa, KHOI, to host the Grassroots Radio Conference, and it's going to be on August 14th to 17th. And we're looking forward to that being a positive event for community radio and for Pacifica. So I think I'll leave it at that and answer questions.
Well, first, congratulations on the new internet stations. It's always great to hear that new stations are forming and that they're becoming part of the Pacifica affiliate program.
Thanks. So, yeah, WUTU is not an internet station. That's actually a very large on-air station, community radio station.
Oh, good. Does anybody have any questions? Thanks for that report, Ursula.
Could you say what the ballpark, what the amount of money you're owed is?
Am I allowed to say that on a public stream? I don't know.
No, okay.
I don't know. If somebody would advise me, I'm happy to say it. I'm not always sure what the legal parameters are here. It's a substantial amount. It's
okay.
In the, you know, between 5 and 10,000, kind of.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Approaching 10,000.
Any other questions? Okay. So, do you want to move to the survey? I personally, Ursula, would think that the survey, I know some people want to get going on it, but I think if we waited until next month when all new members of the affiliate committee come on the call, we would have a better way of moving the survey forward. But that's just
okay,
me
that's
talking.
Fine. This is Teresa. I'd like to say something.
Teresa, go ahead.
Well, I disagree.
Okay.
I think that there is nothing, there never has been anything that has kept anybody from attending these meetings if they were interested. And if somebody called up and was interested, they could be calling up doing surveys now.
Hello?
I've repeatedly at PNB meetings, I've made statements about affiliates. I've begged people to join, people on various LSBs. They knew, they should know if they're interested in the responsibilities as a board member, that one of those responsibilities is to help with committees and task forces. And so if the chairs of those LSBs didn't tell them to join, you know, I don't know what to say. I think we should start now and do the best we can. And
hello.
Can you hear me?
Well, I just want to announce that I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I was at another meeting, which was supposed to end at 8, but it didn't end until now, but now I'm calling. It's Frank LeFevre.
Hi, Frank. I'll put you down. Anyway, this is Teresa Allen, and I think that we need to start. Those people that are on the call that want to start making the calls, they should do it now. They should start as soon as they can. And I'd also like to know if anything is happening with the car donation program, because our participation in the car donation program not only helps affiliate stations.
Okay, but that has nothing to do with the survey, Teresa. Let's stick with one topic.
Well, I'm going back to when I was on mute, and you asked if there were any other questions when she was giving her report.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to answer those questions quickly. I asked Chris Ling to make an analysis of exactly how many stations have joined the car donation committee, and I will post that to the task force as soon as he'll have it done by tomorrow because tomorrow's his last day. So I did ask him to make a report on that, and
hopefully
he'll have it by tomorrow. The other question you asked was about the survey. The one thing go ahead.
Teresa, what did you want to know about the survey?
I just was responding to your point that you were telling people, let's wait until next month, and I say, I am ready to make phone calls. And I personally am ready to start doing the survey.
Okay, go ahead. So how many people that are left on this committee tonight would be willing to learn how to do the surveys and then do the surveys with the affiliate committees? Would you please step forth so we would know how to coordinate it with Teresa?
Tina, can I?
I'm willing.
Okay, so Michael, and who?
Tina,
who's
can I just?
Yeah, who is
Heather,
this?
Can I just make a statement? This is Heather.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, one of the things that we had planned to do from the last meeting, actually, was to get the list of the new members of the task force and to send out a notice that we're planning on doing this and to set a time for training before.
That's why I was trying to wait until next month, but Teresa wanted to move forward. So right now...
I got the training.
Right, I know you do. So right now, Michael wants to join Teresa.
So, Dina?
Yeah.
I don't know when the training would take place. I can understand you thinking that perhaps, you know, the next meeting might be a good thing to do. However, I am going to, now that we have the emails for all the new members, I will send something out in the next couple of days. It will probably be by a note from Janice and me to the new members of the task force, to tell them that we're wanting to do this survey and see what feedback we get. But I think it's great that Michael said he wanted to do it, and I'm wanting to help as well, and Teresa does, so we've already got three of us now. And I know that I'm going to want to go through the training again. And Michael, I'm sure you would probably want to do that as well, right?
Yes.
So I'll get in touch with I'll be coordinating this with Teresa and get in touch with Michael and whoever else we can line up for this.
You might want to, and in your letter or your note to the new members, you might want to say, it's really fun doing these surveys. It takes up to half an hour, but you really get to know the station and what is their uniqueness. And it tells you a lot about what you know about your own station versus their station. It's a good thing to do.
I agree. So thanks for saying that. Good point.
Yeah. So anything else from the affiliate coordinator report or the survey? Okay. Then we're going to move into the GRC planning. Ursula would like to present, I guess, the committees that the KHOI has been looking to set up and what I believe needs to happen tonight is sort of a think tank of how we can coordinate some support with KHOI and with the whoever's coordinating it from their end. So, Ursula, do you want to tell us more?
The three broad committees that were formed were programming, fundraising, and logistics. So program has to do with, you know, what the workshops are going to be, what kind of other activities and speakers we would like to have, you know, happening at the event, what kind of issues we'd like to address. Logistics is housing, registration, transportation, just kind of the food, the logistics of how to, you know, run the conference, the infrastructure. And there's also a certain amount of fundraising that has to be done because there's usually a request for some scholarships, some financial aid for some people. And also, there's kind of a startup fund for GRC, but we haven't been able to locate any because the GRC lapsed for a year, so I'm not sure there is a startup fund as usual. So there might be some need to help start with the seed money for the conference. So those are the three main kind of general areas involved here. And at the meeting last month, there was some desire expressed on the part of the task force members to help out, and that would be wonderful if some folks here on the committee felt they wanted to get involved with it. And I guess, you know, it would be helpful for me to know what people, if those of you that were interested, were what you were interested in doing in terms of, you know, I mean, the sky's the limit. I mean, there's all sorts of ways that we can welcome your creative input on it. And, you know, one way I think that you could be helpful is in doing outreach, in, you know, getting the word out about the conference. And can you hear me, or is there the background noise distracting?
No, you're fine.
Okay. I'm having a little radio crisis in the background here. We want the conference to be fun. We want this to be a place for people to, you know, bring their creativity, how to make a really enjoyable conference. So I think, you know, doing personal outreach to a lot of one of the things that's unique about this conference, I think, is that the outreach we can do to our affiliates is much larger than the usual GRC outreach because a lot of Pacific affiliates are not accustomed to coming to these conferences. So as the affiliates program, we can really reach out to them and let them know this is something they might want to do. And, you know, that's kind of a bunch of national legwork that I think would lend itself to the affiliates task force participating. It's also, quite frankly, I mean, one of the reasons I'm doing this is because it is a source, this kind of activity is a source of really good public relations. And, you know, one of the collateral damage of the current struggle at Pacifica is that the public relations has been very, very hard on the affiliates program. We depend heavily on our good reputation. And so being able to do outreach and saying that we're doing something exciting that supports, you know, our media is it's a good opportunity for us to get the word out that we are, you know, we're growing and doing things on behalf of our field.
So those are areas I think that you could be involved. Certainly would welcome other areas, too, if you have contacts for interesting people that could come to the conference, if you have some creative ideas. It's all welcome right now. So I would be great for me to hear from you, too, like what you think of the idea. I can tell you some of the ideas that have been percolating so far, if that helps. Should I do that, or what's the best way to move forward with this?
Just keep talking, I guess. The more you fill us in, the more our minds will start getting in gear with you.
Okay. One of the things that I think would be really great for a conference like this is to, you know, I think it's always great to remember that the real hosts always on this wonderful continent are really the indigenous people, because this is really their land originally. And so I reached out to the Native nation that lives here in Iowa, the Meskwaki Indians. And they're kind of unusual in that they have a very positive history with the pioneers that originally settled this area. So there's a very kind of a positive relationship. And also they actually own their own land, so they never experience the kind of cultural disconnect that a lot of Native Americans have gone through. So they're very clear about who they are and what happened here in Iowa. And they once kind of colorfully described to me that their feeling about the white people living here in Iowa is that they're like really good friends who have developed Alzheimer's. Kind of an interesting image. So I spoke with Jonathan Buffalo, who is their history director, and he agreed that he would be willing to come to the conference and to welcome people and to give some people a historical perspective on what has really occurred on this particular, place on the earth, and the Native history, which is very unusually easily to understand and accessible because of their kind of sense of continuity here. And also Iowa has kind of led the cause of can't remember what the official word for it, but it's like reclaiming artifacts from museums, and especially reclaiming the remains of Indians and burying them. So it's kind of it's interesting project that they're working on, and he said he'd be happy to talk about the work they're doing there too. So that's one piece I'd really like to put in place. There's also groundbreaking, believe it or not, conservation work in Iowa, which is kind of a surprise when you look at this land, which has been completely trashed, really, in the name of agribusiness. But we have been doing some groundbreaking reporting here on environmental and wildlife issues, and we'd like to do, some training around that, about how community radio can address issues of the environment and wildlife. And there's also an organization in the Bay Area which is really doing pioneering work on privacy. And they said they would love to come to the conference and do presentations and run workshops teaching people on how to protect yourself and how to protect the radio stations, in the area of privacy. And so that would be, I think, a great addition. We also have some great people who are involved with the area of coaching, and including Dina and a few other people who are really great, great teachers in terms of just effective management, in terms of people working together and building, structures for success and problem solving. And, a lot of stations have similar problems of management and, how to work together and what to do when things go terribly wrong between people. And so we have some people who want to come and really focus on that and even do one-on-one consultations about how to resolve problems, because that's an area that I've never really heard dealt with in depth at these conferences, and I think it's a need everybody has. I also really look forward to have this to be a venue to discuss the group underwriting project that we're developing and, ways for community radio to find new ways to sustain itself, because funding problems is a problem that everybody is pretty desperately sharing right now. So those are some exciting areas. There's we have some people here who are interested in doing a hip-hop summit, because there actually are quite a few stations that do hip-hop, and one of our producers here has been doing a lot of outreach to hip-hop producers, and it would be fun to see what they did, and maybe even have one of the possible events would be some sort of performance. Frida Werden from Canada, who some of you may know her, she's very respected feminist reporter. She does Women's International News Service. She wants to come and do a workshop on sound editing training, and also on producing feminist news. And that's really great. She's actually retiring, and so it's pretty exciting that she's willing to come and pass on some knowledge. So those are some of the ideas that are starting to pop up. We're planning to run the conference downtown here in the downtown area of Ames, which is very small. Ames is a very small town. It's a college town. Across the street from the radio station is an old factory, which has been turned into the community arts center, and we will rent their whole building so that we'll use that as the venue for the conference. It has about 7 different rooms we can use for workshops. It has a large gathering hall, and it's literally across the street from the radio station, so that we will be able to be in and out of the radio station and use the radio station as well as a venue for meetings and hospitality and access to the airwaves or whatever people want to do. And then catty corner from us is a church which provides free food every day for people. And we've been speaking with them, and it sounds like they are going to be willing to provide the food for us. And it'll be farm-to-table food, so it'll be really a great time in Iowa to eat. And so we're kind of developing a campus downtown here between the art center, the radio station, and the church as kind of the campus for the conference. So Ames, Iowa is not a particularly exciting town. It's, as they say, the best thing about it is that there's not a whole lot of distractions, so there'll be a lot of time for us to focus on radio. And so those are some of the things that we're thinking of doing so far.
I have a Teresa here with a comment.
Okay.
I know I don't know whether it was it Moab that Michelle Schacht sang?
Yeah.
And I remember Pete Seeger performed when we were in the mm-hmm. Cascades in New York.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In the Catskills.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay.
It occurred to me that I don't know how they put this concert together. It was in a beautiful facility, and it was a big public concert.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought perhaps someone should apply for a grant for Susan Werner to perform, because she could do a public concert and actually create some songs specifically
That's great, Teresa.
For the
yeah.
group. Just a thought.
Yeah, actually, you know, as you mentioned, Teresa, it would be really great to have your help in that area because you really know musicians. And, we have not, we're kind of still feeling our way through keynote speakers and entertainment. And I think you could actually be really helpful in that area.
Well, I'll give it. We'll talk.
Okay.
Another
great.
Thing that I think that we should do right now is an email should be sent to the general managers, requesting that they ask programmers at the Pacifica stations if they would like to attend,
mm-hmm.
and also to the board, to the chair of each board, asking that they get information out asking if board members would like to plan to attend, and it's not too early to do that.
No, this would be a good time to start doing that. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what I could do is I can write some sort of description for Pacifica People, right, and, you know, ask the task force members to help get that information out to the Pacifica stations. Yeah.
That would be good. And because you're staff, you could probably get it to the general managers to send out.
Yeah.
But certainly members of this task force could certainly get it to our LSVs.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I've
already done that, but mm-hmm. but I need to do it again probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ursula, this is Dina. I'm thinking it might be nice to invite somebody from AMARC, not the United States representatives, but somebody from somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I actually was just in Austin, Texas, and I stayed with Jim Ellinger, who's been real involved with AMARC, and he's hunting down what I told him what I'd like to do would be, like, perhaps in the first night of the conference, to Skype in some people from different countries around the world to talk just for a few minutes about what they're doing in different locations.
That's what I really want. It would be nice if we could connect with some of the community radio stations from around the world.
Yeah.
So we were thinking the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. And Jim said that he would start to, there's like a guy in Palestine and in Egypt that I've been trying to locate and who would be great. And Jim knows how to reach the guy in Palestine, so I think through that. And there's also a bunch of guys in Nepal that I met that I think I could try and reach out to. And there's a bunch of really great people. There's some people in Japan. And it would be a lot of fun just to have some of them come in by Skype and have a screen and have them, you know, connect with us. It'd be very, very nice. I agree.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that it, you know, it kind of comes alive for people.
I just want to say this is Ankina. I came in really late. I apologize. Some unexpected situation come up, but I'm here.
Hi, Ankina.
Thank you, Ankina.
Good to have
you. This is just a topic for the programming, but it's a topic that certainly comes up constantly with me, and you'll laugh for Pacifica at this point, but it's conflict resolution, and it's really turning challenges into opportunities. And I say that because most people avoid conflict, and they avoid the challenges, and they really don't know how to handle it in a mature way.
Yeah, I agree. That's kind of the coaching part, yeah.
Right, and so I'm really feeling like there could be a series of workshops so that whether it has to do with board management or it has to do with producers or partnerships in producing, because I know when I was at BAI, there were a number of partnerships that broke up and made life difficult simply because the producers themselves couldn't handle conflict themselves very well.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you could be really useful in that, Dina. And as you know, I've had a very, very good mentor who lives in Austin, and he's agreed to come up too. And I think there's some very powerful information that we can impart that is very new, that could give people a different way to look at things. And kind of like, it's also about culture changing, like what do you do when things go really wrong?
Right. Right.
Which is part of the deal, you know, as we all know.
Exactly.
And there's very powerful information that people can have to help them really structure their thinking around that.
Right.
And like I said, I think we should even take it to the extent of one-on-one, you know, consultations, because some people really have some serious problems they want to talk over with somebody. A small problem-solving group, something to really hone in on that and help people think through some of these really important issues, you know, about how to get along with each other.
Right.
And
And another aspect of that is, I mean, it's separate, but is in real building strategy into your planning so that there's there are strategy sessions, there's strategic thinking, there's, you know, putting things in context, putting them, there's all ways of doing it, but it as a means so that most stations, from my experience, because they're so short in staff and funding and the typical problems, everybody's running on a reaction rather than being proactive.
Yeah.
And if we could just, you know, sort of grab the tail and stop going around in circles, and instead it's worth stopping for a few days and strategizing and making a plan, it would stop a lot of interaction that takes everybody nowhere except in circles.
Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody's really experiencing tremendous stress financially and organizationally, it's really a serious thing. I mean, this is really about making community radio work so
right.
that we can keep going. You know, this is really where I'm coming from. You know,
right.
how do we keep this media going? How do we keep it viable? Because it's very, very important. I agree.
So, you know, Ursula and I are doing some talking here with Teresa, but is there anybody else who has ideas that would be useful that you're experiencing in your own stations that you know are problems that are not being handled that we might bring up as a program that during GRC could be dealt with? Not what your problem is, but the solutions around the problems that you see that exist.
Yeah. You know, another area of outreach that we can use help with is there's a lot of new stations coming on board with the low power movement, and they're
uh-huh.
probably, we can do outreach to them. The Radio for People gang is a gang of people that, of experts that get together to help people build their stations, and we're going to be getting together at the NFCB to do some teaching, and most of them have said they will come here too. So we really should be inviting the new people and helping them, you know, get on their feet as well. So anyway, I'll stop talking now.
There was a voice I heard, a male voice coming in, and
Michael Novick.
Michael.
I'm quite excited. I had a couple of questions or suggestions. One is, I think because of the financial situation, too, that has there any thought been given to live streaming some of the proceedings so that people that can't afford to get there could still have some access to, you know, either the discussions or the you know, informational workshops?
I agree with you, and if I am looking for somebody who has information about how to do that in a cost-effective way. I was at a conference this weekend where they do live streaming, and I asked them how much it cost, and it was pretty damn expensive. So if we could figure out a way to do it on a grassroots level, I would love somebody to help me work on that or help us work on that.
I could try to talk to them. I know that in the Occupy movement, there were half a dozen people at least that were live streaming, you know, every GA and other stuff. So I can check with some of them and see how they
do. That would be fabulous.
I don't think they're doing it. Sure.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. I would love to do that.
Dina, I was wondering if I could just make a quick comment. I'm going to have to get off the phone, unfortunately. I need to get to the computer.
Sure. Go ahead.
But I just wanted to mention, if we have people from all over the country at this meeting, I think it's also a good opportunity for us to explore some issues, some national programs we might want to coordinate with around the country. Just about some critical issues, either politically or any number of things, you know, we could explore. So I think what I'd like to be able to do is just to write up something and get that out to the task force and get everybody's take on this. There's some of us in the Pacifica network that have also talked about wanting to coordinate with them national organizations working on various and sundry issues that we think should get out to the public. And I think that this is a wonderful opportunity for us to do some coordinated efforts along this line. So in any case, I'm just bringing that up, and I want to thank all of you all for your great work, and I must apologize for needing to get off the phone. So, and I will talk to everybody later. I look forward to hearing what comes out of the meeting. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you, Heather.
And the only other suggestion I have, and I'm not even sure how I know the ramifications of it, but one of the things that constantly happened at BAI was during the month of October was a fundraising month. And from a political point of view, the month of October is all the campaigning that goes on for all the elections every November. And we never could cover it. And then we never could be effective as a movement, as a left movement, in educating our listeners as to what the issues were for the elections. And I'm wondering if on a national level that is the same kind of problem, that October is a fundraising month, and therefore we really do not serve our listeners in any positive way with the one thing that they have the power of, which is a vote. I think it's something to be explored. I don't know quite how, and I don't know that this is the forum to do it, but I've raised the issue.
I'm sorry, Dina. What you're saying is that because we have pledge drives in October, we are doing our listeners a disservice because we cannot cover elections and news properly. Is that what you're saying?
We can't cover the issues that should precede the elections and then understand who we're voting for, yes.
I agree with you. I agree wholeheartedly. It's a shame when
they go hand in hand.
Sacrifice the news for pledge drives. I think we always need the news no matter what.
I know, but
in
particular, the month of October is when all the campaigning is going on, and it's when in fact our listeners are keyed into what the issues are in particular and should be educated, really educated. And we're in the middle of fund drive every year, and as a result, you're not educating the listeners in terms of empowering them. Their empowerment is the vote. I know that there are people who are going to say no vote is the answer, but that's not. I don't want to go there, and I don't think this is the right place to have this dialogue. But I do think it's the right place to bring it up under programming for the GRC, and then it can be discussed further. Any other crazy suggestions out there?
I had one or two others. I think it would be useful to have a discussion about the changing media landscape and integration of broadcast with social media.
Great idea.
And I think the other get is, in a sense, the whole changing demographics of the population in the United States. Certainly the case of a lot of Pacific stations that many of our old-time listeners are old, like myself, and aging out of.
Yeah, they're aging out. There's no question.
So how to attract young listeners, and the fact that, the demographics of young people in general is substantially different than the demographic of the population as a whole and the aging population. So I think that's an interesting discussion to have, how to address those populations. And
pardon me. This is Teresa, the secretary. Michael, did you just offer, going back about two thoughts, did you offer to do something that I didn't get properly down into the minutes?
I offered to check with people I know from the Occupy movement who have been doing live streaming to find out, you know, economical ways to do it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.